Welcome to Silver Screams, the Horror Nights podcast that invites you beyond the screen and behind the screams of some of your favorite nightmares. And now, our feature presentation.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Silver Screams. That's right, it's the podcast that once again pulled the disappearing trick right out of the hat and recorded an episode less than a year ago. That's pretty good, but it's been a while. Last year we were supposed to be doing updates, and I didn't end up attending the event last year. I was living in Maine at the time, briefly, and I had planned on flying down to spend a weekend. But plans changed, and here we are, with no event to speak of for me last year. But this year, I'm back in Florida. I already got my frequent fear pass. Horror Nights is full speed ahead. It's going to be a different event for me this year, I think, a little bit, because I'm going to be sort of dealing with the fact that I'm a little bit more differently abled than I used to be when it came to Horror Nights. I used to be able to run around that park like crazy, but now my joints and arthritis are not going to let me do that. But I'm excited nonetheless. And excited means we get to talk about it. And we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about all of the announcements since they just posted everything all at once. And we're also going to talk about what we're most excited about. Not really going to rank things. I don't have a list of, like, top 10 or whatever. But, yeah, we're going to talk about it. And by we, I mean me and my faithful, unofficial co-host, Dustin T. Dust, who's going to be joining me in just a moment. So, if you listened to any of the previous episodes from 2021 or the one that we did last year, thank you so much for listening. I was looking at the stats today, and be honest, it's way more people than I would have ever thought would listen to my little podcast. So I appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy our discussion. But without further ado, let's talk about Halloween Horror Nights 2023.
All right, thank you for joining me once again, Dustin, even though it's been almost a year since the last time we did this.
I mean, I've been unburied for a little while now, so we can jump back into this.
Yeah, and I'm back in Florida, so I'm not like watching the event from afar. Like, oh, I wish I could go
be there in person, in the flesh, even
the Tina Fey. I want to go to there, me. So 2023. It's the 32nd year of this event. Seems like they're pulling out some big stops this year, which is kind of nice. I didn't get to go last year, obviously, but you did. And from what you were telling me, you weren't as big a fan of it as you have been in the past.
I really wasn't, and I think a lot of it was mostly how insanely crowded it was every single night.
Yeah, that's what I've been told by many people, yourself included, that it's just absolutely insane. It seems like, and I could be wrong, I could be reading these things incorrectly, but it seems like they're taking measures to try to control that a little bit this year.
That would be nice.
I know that they've, and you just bought your frequent fear pass today, you bought it in the park, so maybe they did this there, but when I bought mine online, they were like, hey, you have to pick a date.
They did ask if we intended on going opening, and we said yes, so
okay.
They are keeping tabs on that, apparently.
Yeah, because that was so online, it's like, pick a date. You can use it on any date from the date you pick onward, but if you pick a date later in the event, you can't come before that.
Oh.
And I was like, that's interesting. I assume that's so they can gauge how many people are going to try to come on opening night.
That's definitely helpful for them.
And like, overall. Because again, I'll be honest. How theme parks keep track of annual pass holders and things like frequent fear is a mystery to me.
I agree with that feeling.
Like, I don't understand. Like, it's like, you know, oh, we're projected this many people. Okay, well, that's people, that's tickets that you've sold. But you also sold a bajillion tickets to people who can go whenever they want.
Right.
So, I know they have a place in process. A process in place, I should say. Strike that, reverse it. But I don't know what it is. But yeah, so I think that they're working on it. I know that they're limiting team members a lot more this year than they used to.
Oh.
From what I've heard, basically, because they changed how team member comp passes work in general recently, where like you have to pick the day that you're going.
Like reserving, you mean?
Well, kind of. You just basically like kind of. They pull up their site and it's like, oh yeah, I have comps are available on that day. I can give my friend a comp that day, but you have to go on the day that the comp is issued for.
I see.
Otherwise,
I see.
It's not valid. And apparently, they're doing that this year with Halloween Horror Nights. Team members can go on any of the nights that are available, but they have to basically go in and pick a night. You know, pick a night. And I was like,
right, right.
Now, I know a lot of team members who just buy a frequent tier pass. They don't even bother with it anymore.
That's fair.
Well, because for many years, they could go whenever they wanted. But then they started being like, well, you can't go on these nights. And so I know a bunch of team members who are like, screw it, I'll just buy my own.
Makes sense.
But I think that's another step towards Universal trying to limit how crazy it was getting. Because even in 2021, I went a couple times, less than I normally would, but I did go, and it was just busy all the time, every single time I went.
Yeah, it's really hard to get around the park. It's hard to get in any of the houses. It's even hard just to get food anywhere because the lines for the food is obscenely long, too, and there's no fast track on that. So you're going to wait.
Yeah, I'm really there's a work wall up in front of the Kid Zone pizza place right now, and I'm sitting there going, oh, that's going to be fun for pizza fries.
I wonder if that's going to be selling the pizza fries, because it is a trek over there. You have to go all the way toward ET and then loop back around in front of Store Pants to get around to it.
Yeah, so maybe not. I mean, the last couple of years, they've had the pizza fries elsewhere anyways. They had them at the Louis. But I know that I know somebody that said they waited an hour to get pizza fries in Louis last year on opening weekend.
Okay, not worth that.
You got to bring back the mobile order if it's going to be like that, folks.
Yeah.
I very rarely try to like dig into the food options at the event. And last year, from what I've told, I would have been completely put off for it.
It was awful last year as far as getting anything.
Well, speaking of food, that's one of the big new announcements that they made. They made this the morning of they announced everything on Friday, everything. They basically said, we're done with people annoying us on Twitter to announce things. We're just going to do it all right now.
And go.
And I don't blame them, because people on Twitter are annoying sometimes. Sorry, Twitter friends. Stop stop harassing a nameless Twitter account. No, okay. You can harass them all you want, I suppose. But and Twitter is dying anyway, so who cares?
Right.
But
well, it's kind of our dead, isn't it? We renamed it, moved on.
It's renamed it. It's in the ground. But they announced that morning, before they made the actual event announcements, that they're doing a special pre-event that you can buy tickets to during normal park hours. They're going to have all the food booths open. Oh. And they're going to charge you, you pay for the privilege of getting small sample sizes of the food booths, all you care to enjoy. So you walk up and it's going to be like food and wine style samplings.
Interesting.
Hosted bar. So I think that's, I'm not sure if that's included in the price or if it's only like a smaller price to add on. I don't know. And you get the Coca-Cola freestyle mug for the event is given to you there, as is the Blinky cup for the event.
Oh, everybody loves a good Blinky cup.
Now the price for it is $150.
Plus you have to, no, the food's included. So you don't have to pay for the food.
You don't have to pay for the food. So it's $150 for the food. The drinks that are included, I think soft drinks are definitely included.
Right.
Everybody online was saying, oh, open bar. And I was like, that's not what it says in the description, but I don't know. But also, and there's like a photo op, so I assume they're going to have some form of scare actor like there as like a photo opportunity or something like that. So $150 or something like that. And I'm just like, I understand it's a good idea to like get that like all the bloggers are going to do that and get all their taste testings out of the way.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, if you're a foodie, that's the way to go if you want to taste everything and not spend an arm and a leg to do it. But you do only get the sample sizes, but you have multiples of the sample sizes. So that could be a good way to do that if you're into that kind of thing.
I was like, I think your mileage may vary on that. It's one of those.
Yes.
Like, I personally would like, I don't know if I would eat enough food to justify paying $150. especially.
But you get two cups out of it, right?
You do get the cups, and the cups are like the Coke Freestyle cups are usually like $20 now.
Okay.
And then the Blinky cup will be whatever you paid for the cocktail, which I think is usually like $15 now. So yeah, right. Not a bad deal. It's just it's one of those things where when I first saw it, I was like, oof, the wallet doesn't like that.
Correct.
Especially since I just paid, you know, $250, well, actually more than that, for my Frequent Fear Pass.
Yeah.
So that was the first announcement. And that's obviously has nothing to do with the houses and anything like that. But, of course, there have been a few announcements. They did do a few announcements earlier on in the year. The first was actually last year, right at the very tail end of the event.
It was on Halloween, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Chucky, it was coming. Now, there was no details as to what the Chucky house was going to be. It was just, hey, Chucky's coming back to the event for Haunted House. Right. So that was one of the first things on Fridays. They kind of clarified what that house is going to be called and what it's going to be about. It's called Chucky, the Ultimate Kill Count. And it says, inspired by the hit USA and sci-fi series and the cult classic films, Chucky's Ultimate Kill Count casts the killer doll as the star of his very own haunted house for the first time. Chucky has been mired in the agony of disrespect he feels from his peers at not being taken seriously as a slasher. Thus, he begins his quest to turn his haunted house into a living slaughterhouse.
Interesting plot there.
Yeah. Universal's gotten into the podcast game, so I don't know if anybody's ever going to listen to this one again. but they do, they have, it's called Discovery Universal, and they, for Halloween Horror Nights, they do like a big like reveal podcast where they talk to the creators and everything like that. But they also do these really awesome little like story snippets. Mm-hmm. They did it last year with like Sweet Revenge, where they told the story of like Major Sweets and his wife and how they kind of came together and what their like overall goal was in that scare zone.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
From what I've heard, it actually, if people listen to it, it definitely helps with the story because you can kind of understand why things are happening the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, oh, this is madness.
It was madness.
They did one this year. So they did one for, like, they did the story stuff, which we'll get to in a minute, but they did talk about, like, the houses with the creators. And what the creators said about the Chucky house has me very interested, which is that basically it's a like about halfway through the house, it becomes very meta. Chucky realizes that he's in a haunted house. And he's sort of upset that it's kind of fake, it's not real. So he starts killing people, including possible references to Harry, you know, to HHN creators, possible references to like, you might see a few dead house staff.
Oh, okay.
You know, things like that. Like, it's going to be very like breaking the fourth wall and like Chucky coming into the event as opposed to just being like, oh, this is just based on Chucky.
Interesting.
And I was like, and I've always felt that they've done a really great job with Chucky at the event. The scare zone with him was fantastic. Back in 2018, I didn't get to go through his haunted house in 2009 because I was not here. But
I heard it was
really fun because that one was, even though it was a Chucky house, it was like a completely original story. Like, it wasn't based on anything specific. So, so that was the first house that was announced, but also they announced more on Friday. The second house they announced was The Last of Us.
Yes.
Which was sort of the given this year. I think everybody knew that was coming. Yeah. Like, it was just like, even before they started doing the rumors and speculation maps, everyone was like, yeah, they're going to do The Last of Us, right? What is intriguing to me is that it's The Last of Us. It's not based on the hit HBO show that we got last year, or early this year, I should say. It's based on
the game. So I don't have to sit through the whole season to understand what's going on.
No, although it might help if you don't want to like look into the video game.
Fair.
It's a good synopsis, I would imagine. But I've never beaten the video game. It's really hard. So at least for me, anyways.
I've watched the first episode, so you know, that's something.
Yeah. I think the game is a good choice because it's scarier than the show. The show focuses more on like the human emotions.
Mm-hmm.
The game does that too, but the game also has you fighting zombies, you know, the infected a lot. So
right, that's the whole point.
Calling them zombies is a little weird, but so I imagine the house will be a lot more of that than the like character bits. And it also means they don't have to pay likeness rights to Pedro Pascal. So I don't think that's the reason why they chose to do that, but it's very much the It definitely helps. But yeah, that was the big first announcement of the year, and that was back in June. They were like, hey, it's The Last of Us. And we were all like, yeah, we knew.
Tell us something we didn't know.
And then speaking of, yeah, we know, the next announcement was Stranger Things.
Yeah, we know.
Which I love, you know, obviously I love Universal. I don't want to poke fun at them, but that was like the worst kept secret. Like everybody knew, oh yeah, Stranger Things is going to be the next house that they announce. And sure enough, it was. And the fact that it's Stranger Things season 4, I think means it's going to be a fantastic addition to the event.
I agree with that because season 4 was very good.
Yeah, and it was very much like I remember the very first episode as soon as they introduced Vecna, I was like, oh yeah, that needs to be in a Halloween Horror Nights house.
Yep.
It's like I need that gentleman to crack my spine.
I hope that no one in Central Florida needs a grandfather clock because you will not be able to find one.
Yeah, they're going to be. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure the props people were scouring like antique stores. But yeah, so I think that's probably of the IPs. That's definitely probably my like and most anticipated house because I think it's going to be truly
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. So as for the other announcements, which all came on Friday, they've never really done it like this before. It kind of feels a little bit like old school because they used to not really announce things in advance at all. They was kind of like, oh, hey, Halloween Horror Nights is coming up in a couple of weeks. Here's what's there.
Yeah, it was mostly their advertising is basically what told you what the houses were.
So them doing announcements is somewhat of a new thing. It's kind of like, especially, and I think people got spoiled in 2018 and 2019 when they were rolling out announcements like one a month every month from like March onward.
And that was nice. It was something to look forward to and talk about consistently to keep, you know, its own advertising going throughout the year.
Yeah. But it's just funny to me because I'm just like, well, they don't do that anymore. No. But the first property that they sort of announced that they hadn't before on Friday was the one I was the most sort of ambivalent towards in all the rumors and, like, speculation. So the speculation maps have long rumored that it was going to be an Exorcist house.
Mm-hmm.
And no one could seem to agree, and like the people that do that speculation stuff, if it was going to be the original movie, which we've had a house for before,
right?
Or if it's going to be based on the new movie called Exorcist Believer, which comes out in October. Turns out it's the second one. It's the latter of the two, which means it's more interesting to me than it would have been if we had just done the movie again. They did the Exorcist in 2016 mm-hmm. was the year that they had the Exorcist. I did not like that house.
Not a fan?
Not a fan. First off, it's a movie that takes place primarily in one room.
Yeah.
Very hard to do a haunted house of that. They had to like keep like looping you out of the room and bringing you back in, basically.
Oh, that's weird.
Like it was like you'd leave, there'd be like a transition hallway, and then you're back in the room, but you know, she's floating now, and you know, it was I just felt I give them credit. They tried. There was a couple of cool set pieces. They did a really clever thing, which was that the Exorcist is fairly well known for her, like the girl being possessed, vomiting like green bile.
Yes.
And in the filmmakers, what they used for that was like pea soup.
Right.
Like really bright green pea soup. So they copied that coloring in one of the rooms, and you were walking through like mattresses that were like stained with the puke.
Ooh.
And it smelled like pea soup.
Oh god.
Yeah, so it wasn't a very pleasant smell. But I thought it was funny that they didn't make it smell like vomit. They were like, we're gonna nod to the fact that it was pea soup.
Well, at least it wasn't vomit smelling. That would have been even worse.
Yeah. But instead this year the new movie is called The Exorcist Believer. It's one of those legacy sequels, kinda like they did with Halloween the last couple of years, where they're bringing back the mother of the daughter who was possessed in the original film. The actress who played her is coming back. But in this case, it's two new young girls who have been possessed by demons. And they ask her for help because she's been, you know, dealt with it before.
Yeah.
And I was watching the trailer when I went to and did the old Barbenheimer the other day.
Yeah.
And that trailer surprised me. I was like, wow, that actually looks interesting. I was not anticipating to actually want to watch that movie. So I think that house could be interesting. It doesn't probably look like it takes place in one room, so that's good.
That's a plus. Probably not the top of my list, but
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think that one's probably not going to be shooting up your list. But I'm kind of impressed that they actually, and some people were like, oh, wow, that's weird because that movie is not going to come out until like 2 weeks before the event's over. And I was like, oh, think of it as like a trailer that you walk through.
That is an interesting.
And they've done that before. In 2014, they had that really awful Dracula Untold movie.
Which I still haven't seen.
You got to watch it at least for the laughs. But the house was actually really good. It was a really good like vampire house. But it didn't come out until almost Halloween, and it was there, you know, from like September 28th until, you know, or whatever the date was. So yeah, they've done it before. They also did it. One of the years they did that Horrors of Blumhouse, the Insidious part of that was for a movie that hadn't come out yet.
Ah.
So not unusual, but definitely. And it's funny because some people were theorizing that this year we would finally get Five Nights at Freddy's, the popular video game franchise.
Yes, I would have enjoyed that, I think.
Because the movie comes out like 2 days before Halloween.
Yeah.
So, and that was the thing. It was like, oh, well, they can't, you know, it would make no sense to have the movie come out, the Horror Nights house come out when the movie comes out at the end of the event. And I'm just like, that has happened before. But unfortunately, they didn't do it with the movie I thought they were going to do it with.
Womp womp.
But I think if the movie is a success, we'll probably see it next year.
Hopefully, because I'm actually looking forward to seeing that movie.
Yeah, so am I. It's gonna be a good time, and I think it will make an excellent Halloween Horror Nights house. But we need to actually. I think the movie needs to make money because otherwise they're gonna hold off.
Sure.
But I also think that movie is gonna make a lot of money because there's so many fans of that game that want to see that movie, and it's rated PG-13, so they can actually some of the young kids who like that game can actually go see the movie, as opposed to if it was rated R.
Right.
Okay, moving on. The next house is, of course, one of our perennial favorites, which is the Universal Monsters House of the Year.
Oh, yeah, I'm here for it. Give me some monsters.
I'm actually really fascinated by this because it's kind of stepping into a realm of monsters that aren't, like, typical. Like, you know, we've done, you know, we had last year they brought back Dracula and the Wolfman. The year before was Frankenstein's Bride. And the first year was all of them. Well, this year it's called Universal Monsters Unmasked, and it is taking place in Paris and is focusing on a different subset of monsters. Specifically, the Phantom of the Opera is the sort of primary one, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Invisible Man, and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
What a fun collection of oddballs.
And it says, this house will take guests down into the infamous burial grounds of underneath the catacombs of Paris, where every corner and crevice overflows with skeletal remains and even more sinister secrets. Deep within this, you'll find the Phantom of the Opera, Hunchback, Dr. Jekyll and his deranged alternate personality, Mr. Hyde, and the Invisible Man. They will lie in wait as they bide their time and seek vengeance against guests after opening the catacomb to public visitation. And I was like, that's cool. And bonus, if you're somebody who is listening to this somehow and you go to the Hollywood event, that is the house that will feature music by Guns N' Roses guitar player Slash. Every year he does the score for one of their houses, and he's been doing the monster score for the last couple of years.
Oh.
So they get – because their house is – it's very unique to them. We don't ever share that.
Right.
We typically go with the more classic, you know, like if it's a Universal Monsters house, you're going to hear like classic horror music in it.
Mm-hmm.
No,
that sounds really fun. I'm really excited to see how they do some of the visual effects for the Invisible Man and maybe how they're going to transform Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. And the artwork for it, like Phantom looks like gnarly.
Yes, he does. I'm looking at it right now. It's quite grotesque.
But then Invisible Man looks kind of normal. So the first year that they did the Universal Monsters like Haunted House, they had at Hollywood. I think it was, if I remember correctly, that was a year before we did ours. They did theirs by itself, and then the next year we did ours by itself, and they did like the Wolfman versus Frankenstein or something like that.
That sounds right, yeah.
But in their original house, they had the Invisible Man. It was this really cool blacklight effect.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it was the scene where he's like laughing and throwing things at people.
Yep.
And so it was like him doing the movement and laughing, but like the blacklight would make it look like you could see inside of his like the bandages.
That's pretty cool.
That was cool. So I hope we get something similar because I do like, I'm very excited. Invisible Man's probably my favorite of that bunch.
Yeah. It's a good movie. I'm excited to see him in kind of in person.
And then, so that's takes care of the IPs that they have. So we've got Last of Us, Exorcist, Chucky, Universal Monsters, and Stranger Things.
That's five. Okay, so that's half. That's half the group. That's
half the event, and the rest are all of the original houses. Now, I know you said you're not as familiar with these because you really haven't read up on them.
No, I haven't. This is all new stories. I'm excited.
And I think that these all sound incredible. Like, I don't think there's one that sounds bad in the bunch. There's one that I would definitely rank as my like least interested. But I still think it'll be good. Top of the list is basically this year's icon, which is Dr. Oddfellow. Oddfellow is obviously, if you're listening to this, you probably know the lore of Jack the Clown. And Oddfellow was the man who ran the carnival that Jack got his start at. He killed Jack. He was the original reason Jack was dead. Jack came back to life, you know, through supernatural means. And in 2007, Jack killed Dr. Oddfellow, stole his cane and his ringmaster jacket, and became the ringmaster himself. Well, this year, Dr. Oddfellow is back. And he is everywhere. He has his own house, and he is going to be a part of every single scare zone.
Everything's all tied together this year.
Yeah, at least in the streets.
Yes.
So the Dr. Oddfellow's Twisted Origins is his house, and it's going to be a demented late-night circus led by an evil ringmaster and notorious icon looking for human souls to feed his dark intentions. The cane that he carries, which also Jack carries for a while, is called the Cane of Souls. And the idea is that he's sort of like, it's like Something Wicked This Way Comes, where the ringmaster comes to town looking to trade people's souls for whatever they desire.
Okay.
But Oddfellow is very... They've done some really cool backstory work on him. So this year, I mentioned that they do the podcast where they do like story bits. Mm-hmm. The big one that they've released so far is about Oddfellow's history. And it's basically the story of how he is immortal because of all the souls that he's stolen. And it's like following him throughout the centuries. He pretended to be a vampire so he could gain control over a coven of vampires and use their immortality to further, you know, build up his own immortality. He started the circus. Obviously his interactions with Jack, but then he comes, now he's back. And I'm very interested to see, because I know that this is going to be a creepy carnival house, but it's also going to have a lot of like Horror Nights history built into it, which I think is really cool.
Those are like two categories of topics that you absolutely love. So this is probably going to be your top house of the year.
Yep. I'm just kind of annoyed that it's where Bugs was last year, and it's going to probably be the longest walk to get to a house.
Oh, yeah, that's going to suck.
I don't think they've changed because they can't really. The construction walls are just everywhere this year.
Yeah, that's going to be a usual. Yep.
And so the next house, which I think is most everybody that I know's most anticipated house, because it is such a like hit to the nostalgia for many Universal fans,
mm-hmm.
is Dueling Dragons. Choose Thy Fate. They are doing a house based on the storyline for the closed roller coaster from Islands of Adventure.
That's really fun.
Yeah. And it says, a horrific twist to a frightening yet familiar tale and sinister battle between fire and ice in Dueling Dragons, Choose Thy Fate. And from what it seems like there might be multiple paths to take in this house, kind of like they do with Howl Scream sometimes.
Oh.
So I'm sure that it's very constructed, so that way you eventually end up going the same way as everybody else. But apparently there's multiple paths you can take. There are going to be multiple endings, depending on when you go through the house. So
okay.
This is going to be a wild attraction. And it's going to be great for fans of Universal who love like the history of attractions. It's going to be great for, I think it's going to be great for like D&D fans, like Dungeons & Dragons. It's going to have that like medieval aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sounds like a cool haunted house. Plus, give me some fire-breathing dragons instead of a haunted house. I want to see how they do that.
It's going to be really cool. I wasn't like a huge nerd about the attraction, but this is going to be a unique house that I've not really anticipated. And
they posted a picture on the page for that podcast of the guys, the people that host the podcast, like in front of certain aspects of some of the houses. And mm-hmm. one of the set pieces was from the Dueling Dragons house. And it looks like they recreated like almost exactly one of the set pieces from the queue.
Oh, cool. Because, you know, they probably still have all of those props from the queue. That's so convenient.
Yeah. But I think that's going to be a really fun one. I personally am just it's like with the originals, I'm like, I don't know what I like more. You're giving me Creepy Carnival. You're giving me Dueling Dragons. And then the next one is bringing back one of my favorite houses from a couple years ago, which is a Yeti Campground Kills.
So this one might be my go-to.
Yeah. So it's blood-soaked campgrounds deep in the trenches of mountains where vicious, bloodthirsty monsters have returned with a vengeance in Yeti Campground Kills. From what I'm told, this takes place in the 50s.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading, yep.
With like a 1950s campground. So I'm like, yep, I want that. I want that immediately.
I loved Yeti, the Terror of the Yukon. That was probably one of the best houses that year. So I'm stupid excited to see them come back. Now, my question is going to be this. It is titled Yeti, right? They're in campgrounds. Is there snow?
No, I think these are going to be more like Sasquatch Yetis.
Right. Then are they technically called Yetis, or would they be Sasquatches?
You're right, except that I think that this is part of the naming scheme, because in 2018, they had the Swamp Yeti bit of...
Slaughter Cinema.
Slaughter Cinema. And that's what inspired them to do like the full-on Yeti house the next year.
Yep,
so I think this is going to be more in line with Swamp Yeti than with Yukon Yeti.
That checks out. I love the tagline on this house.
Yeah, what is the tagline? Because I don't think I have that on my...
Yeti or not, here they come.
They are just full on going into the tongue in cheek of that one.
So do we think this might be the humor house?
This or Chucky?
Fair.
And maybe even both. Because
Yeti was Chucky's kind of on its own.
Yeah, and Yeti was definitely a humor house that year, but I don't think it was the only humor house, you know?
I don't think it was either.
So, you know, it's funny because, I mean, some of the houses can always have humorous elements in them, even if they're not considered the comedy house.
Fair.
You didn't see it, but when they had Lightning Gulch, the old West Town one.
Yeah.
That one was scary, but also genuinely funny. They had some really funny bits in that house.
I mean, humor and horror kind of go hand in hand, so.
Yeah, you have to have a chuckle after you get the crap scared out of you. Crap scared out of you,
right.
The next house, which is, again, this is one of the ones that I'm just like, I can't, this sounds so cool. In many of the, like, speculation maps, people just simply refer to this as the Devil Goes Down to Georgia.
I can visually see why looking at the poster.
So it's basically... My description here isn't as good as I'm sure the one you probably have, but it says selling their soul for fame in the darkest deal where they quickly learn a deal can be more than they bargained for. I know it's about a musician who basically has sold his soul for his fame, and now the devil is coming to call. So I think it's going to be very in the line of the devil went down to Georgia, but I have a feeling it's not going to have the same happy ending as that song.
Probably not. The tagline on this one is fame is fleeting, fear is forever. And the caption is a blues musician, Pine Straw Spruce, there's a name for you, will have to face the music after meeting the collector and trading his soul for musical glory. You and your squad, oh God, we're bringing that back. You and your squad learn the terrible price of fame.
I did forget that they were like, Scream Squad. God.
The next one has Scream Squad in it. Oh God.
Yes. And they still haven't dropped Never Go Alone.
No, I don't think they'll ever drop that because they want to make more money. Bring your friends.
Yeah, bring your friends, please. what I think is interesting about this is this might also tie into Oddfellow.
I can see that.
Some people are saying that it's possible Oddfellow is the collector. Mm-hmm. So even though it's going to play it like he's selling his soul to the devil, it may not actually be the devil that he's selling his soul to.
Yep.
Now, that's just conjecture based on the fact that a lot of stuff is connected this year. Certainly wouldn't surprise me. The next house and the last one is called the Darkest Deal. Not sure, the Dark. So the Blood Moon Dark Offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one is the one that I said would probably be ranked last if I had to choose one. Still sounds interesting, though. It says a colonial cult is looking to slaughter those who dare refuse to worship the Blood Moon. I'm sure yours is probably a bit more verbose than mine on that one. It's basically going to be like an evil cult sacrificing people, which is that absolutely throw that on the
may as well. The tagline on this one is bleed for the Blood Moon. I've got in a colonial era village, moon worshippers witness a blood moon at their fall festival. They take it as a sign to hunt down any non-followers, including you and your scream squad.
Okay, that's where the scream squad comes in. This is another one that is rumored to possibly be tied into the Oddfellow story, because if you look at the logo, they have some like
symbols.
Arcane symbols, uh-huh. And one of them is the symbol that's associated with Oddfellow. So now, of course, that might just be just a fun little nod in the logo, but they do seem to be trying to tie everything together, which they've done in the past. This feels very old school.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with Lady Luck was the last time they really did that for Halloween Horror Nights 21 in 2011.
Right.
There was a Lady Luck reference, if not a full-on appearance, in every single house or scare zone.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, so she was everywhere. And Oddfellow feels like he's going to be mostly everywhere. Now that brings us to the scare zones. And these scare zones do sound delightful this year.
All right, I'm listening.
So Dr. Oddfellow gets a scare zone as well, and it's probably going to be the first thing that you see when you enter the park. As the sun sets on Universal Studios Florida and ominous clouds fill the sky, Dr. Oddfellow steps out of Halloween Horror Nights past to fill the streets with hordes of taunting scare actors in five all-new scare zones. Oddfellow's collection of horror come face-to-face with a devious legend who is promising immortality for those who dare to enter. And so that's going to probably be, you know, the typical, you know, the usual suspects of carnies and crazies.
Yep.
Clowns. You might also see, I would imagine you might see some stuff from some of the houses, like characters from the houses might show up in that zone.
That's possible.
All tie them into him.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't want to like full on just go clowns, because that would be easy.
And boring.
And I'd be there for it, because I'm me. But just me in the corner, like, you know, waving my flag, like, yay! And everyone else is like, ugh, Donald. So then it's the next one is called Dark Zodiac, and this is going to go in the Hollywood streets. And it's Cower and Fear as the signs of the Zodiac come to life in Dark Zodiac, where Dr. Oddfellow uses his power to transform the Zodiac signs into horrific horoscope creatures.
Ooh.
So I this one feels like it's going to be there. They had one called Seven many years ago. That was like the Seven Deadly Sins.
Uh-huh.
And this feels very of a similar vibe. So I don't know what to expect, but I'm eager to see what they do with it.
Yes. That one will be interesting. And all the people that are obsessed with Zodiacs and what your moon sign is and all that nonsense, yeah. It's going to be all over it.
Exactly. And that's going to be in the Hollywood scare zone. So, which I've got to admit hasn't been my favorite scare zone in a while. I think 2019 when it was Vanity Ball was like the last time I really dug a scare zone there.
Last year's was visually appealing.
It was the graveyard, wasn't it?
The graveyard, uh-huh, which was cool, but I really wanted more out of it. It was too just kind of, you know, set piece here, set piece there. It wasn't, I want an actual cemetery if we're going to go that route, but
right, yeah. And then like, cause like in 2018 that was Chucky. In 2017, mm-hmm. It was this weird, it was called Festival of the Deadliest. It was like this really weird, like skeletons and like heavy metal fire.
Okay, that's a way to go.
It was okay. It wasn't my favorite. And then in 2016, it was Vamp 55. It started the whole Vamp craze,
mm-hmm.
which was, of course, that was just a classic. And we'll get back to that.
we will.
So the next one is in the Central Park area. So everyone's favorite pinch point. Is Jungle of Doom Expedition Horror. This is a little bit of Horror Nights past history coming to life. Jungle of Doom was a house in for the 13th year. It was essentially, and it was the house that was essentially, so the 2 years that they did like the full-on event at Islands of Adventure, they used the Triceratops Discovery Trail.
Yes, as a house.
A house.
Uh-huh.
The first year it was Jurassic Park themed. The second year it was called Jungle of Doom. And it was, you know, very like, you know, explorers in a very dangerous, exotic jungle. This one is Venture into Jungle of Doom Expedition Horror, where Dr. Oddfellow's twisted and bizarre experiments combine elements of nature and animals to create vicious jungle creatures looking to satisfy their cravings.
All right.
And that's one of the ones that has set pieces up already.
It does. I looked at them today. The stage is pretty beefy for that area.
Yeah. And they have a couple of trusses that haven't been decorated yet, one of which is at like a weird angle, and I'm like, that's interesting.
Yes, I saw that too.
I think it's, I was like, that's probably going to be like some sort of vine, or either that or like a collapsed pillar or something.
Yeah.
I got very, very Jungle Cruise vibes from it when they were posting it, so I was like, I bet you this is jungle themed, and then like 2 days later, they were like, Jungle of Doom, and I was like, cool. It does feel, it feels very Shirley's Temple.
We all know about Shirley's Temple.
Yeah. And it's already being kicked apart by guests, so great times.
Par for the course.
I saw a picture of something with a huge chunk that's missing, and I'm like, great.
That's why we can't have nice things.
I was like, it doesn't even start for a month. But then the next scare zone, which is, as we were talking about, Vamp 55 was such a classic. They brought it back in 2018 as Vamp 85, yep. Which was also fantastic.
It was.
It's coming back again, but this time it's the Summer of Blood. Vamp 69. So they're breaking away from the number scheme,
mm-hmm.
which makes the makes my ADHD twitch.
A little bit.
but
like, did you have to pick that particular number? I mean, come on.
I mean, I think that's why they picked that number. Come on.
I would imagine, but still, come on. We're adults here, right?
Universal likes to get their fun little like jokes that, you know, they can get away with even though they're a family theme park. Then again, this is the event where somebody kicked down a door in one of the haunted houses and said, "What's up, pussies?" So, you know.
Okay, then.
That was in the Ash versus Evil Dead house in 2017.
Fair.
It was one of those like pre-recorded bits that they just like triggered, and it was my favorite. Pre-recorded that. It was so funny. Vamp 69, Summer of Blood. Attend a music festival crashed by bloodthirsty vampires let loose by Dr. Oddfellow in Vamp 69, Summer of Blood. That backstory that I mentioned has him like interacting with like a huge group of vampires. Mm-hmm. And I think that they did that specifically because they knew that they wanted to tie him into this one. Very clever. And it's almost got a very, like, it almost looks like the same exact setup as Vamp 85, except set in the 60s.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
It's got the stage with the lighting trusses and everything like that, but also, you know, then there'll be other things. I'm sure there'll be props that they wheel out, like, the night of.
Oh, for sure. They've got a couple, like, tent structures up that are covering other structures, so.
Yeah. So
curious to see what that's about.
I'm sure there's going to be dead bodies galore.
Well, I mean, you can't not have dead bodies. It's
I'm just curious to see if the vamp. I mean, I'm not gonna. I've never doubted. You know, I doubted Vamp 55 when they announced Vamp 55. I said that sounds terrible, and boy was I wrong. Like, and I knew it immediately. Like, I walked through it opening night and went, "I'm stupid. This is amazing." But. I made sure, you know, so in 85, I knew I was going to like, because I like the 80s anyways, as an aesthetic. This one, I'm not as familiar with the 60s aesthetic, besides like hippies and, you know, like, and Woodstock, which seems to be what they're going for.
It's got some serious hippie vibes.
So, and I'm curious to see what hippie vampires are going to be like.
Are there going to be Nosferatu vampires? I think there should be.
There's one in the artwork. Kind of. So I think, I like that because they didn't have Nosferatu vampires in 55. They mostly just did like two fangs and called it good.
Right.
But in 85, they definitely had a few Nosferatu vampires.
They certainly did.
And I was like, that's fantastic. And then there, the last scare zone, which is the one that which is funny because like none of the predictions were right on like the speculation maps. I think that this scare zone changed so many times. The last that I heard was that it was going to be like Krampus themed. It was going to be like Christmas, like horrors.
Okay.
That's not what it is at all, though.
No.
It is called Shipyard 32, Horrors Unhinged. Stumble upon Oddfellows, crates, and cages that once housed monsters of all kinds who have escaped in pursuit of chaos in Shipyard 32, Horrors Unhinged. And I'm like, okay, definitely sounds like a hodgepodge scare zone.
Yeah, having walked through that area today and just saw some of the crates sitting around, that was deeply uninteresting to look at.
And to be fair, at this point, I don't think any of the scare zones, with the exception of Vamp and Jungle, are going to be interesting to look at. I think a lot of that stuff's going to come when they roll it out for the night.
Yep.
But that scare zone's also always a nightmare, so I don't know.
It is always a nightmare. Has not gotten any better. It still sucks to walk through there.
What was there last year?
What was there last year? That's a solid question. Was it was not Crypt TV? That was the year before, wasn't it?
Crypt TV was, yeah, that was 2021.
So it was some kind of witchy thing.
Oh yeah, though. it was like the coven thing, like there was the, like,
yeah,
the,
yeah. It was not good.
It looked fun. I didn't know what it, but I didn't get to see. I was more interested in like the pop up bar that they had there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they keep doing like the kind of things where you gotta like stop, stand, and watch the little vignette, and there's so many people that you can't stop. You have to keep walking.
Keep walking. Yeah.
It's not good setting. So hopefully the crowd situation might be dealt with a little better this year, but we'll see.
It does look like that area is a little more open this year.
It did look like it was set back a little more.
So probably because they don't need to worry about the crowds pouring out of Fast and the Furious at Horror Nights.
Yes. Because they pour out of that attraction so much anyway.
So much, yes. And then the other experiences that they talk about, that this is more of a comprehensive list that my lovely friends over at Thrill Geek have made. So it might not be matching up with what you have, but so
just on the site, so scrolling through what's on the site.
Guests can enjoy all new disturbingly entertaining show, Nightmare Fuel Revenge Dream, which is the new version of the show they've done last year and the year before.
Yippee.
Features a new dreamer confronting the creature that's been turning her dreams into nightmares. Okay. If it's a new version of the show, I'm interested. I heard last year's really wasn't a change from the year before, and I didn't like the year before, so I'm kind of glad I didn't see it last year.
That checks out.
It is very loud and very hot. Like, the fire is intense.
As if it's not hot enough.
Yeah. I remember I sat in the handicap section because I was in the scooter that night, and when I saw it, and that's like right up front.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought my eyebrows got singed off.
Oh, good. You don't need those.
Because I was like, oh boy, that fire is really big and really close. All very safe, of course, but not for, just it felt very warm.
Right.
Somebody bust out the marshmallows, is what I'm saying. this is probably my favorite little side thing. While shopping the latest Halloween Horror Nights merchandise and treats in the all-new tribute stores, guests can enter a mysterious New York City comic book shop and experience tribute to terror by stepping into the pages of this original terrifying horror comic book.
Huh.
And it is not going to be where the tribute store currently is for Jurassic Park.
Oh, thank God.
They're putting it back in the New York section. And Jurassic Park is going to stick around. I imagine they'll probably re-theme the front a little bit, like take away some of the jungle theming.
That would make sense.
But I think that store is going to stick around probably for the rest of the year, to be honest, because it's, they're celebrating the anniversary all year long. So
sure. I was wondering how that was going to go with Horror Nights, because the space there is god-awful for the Horror Nights crowds.
Yeah, so I was like, thank God. Here's something that will make you happy. Guests can enjoy a drink at the Red Coconut Club as it will once again transform into the Dead Coconut Club.
Oh, Donny, yeah.
A new theme and a new menu. So.
A new theme? Oh, no.
Well, I'm sure it'll still be monsters. I'm sure. It might not be tiki like it was. Although, to be fair, every version they've done since has been sort of tiki. So
it has been, but still. It is a good place to chill out before or as you're headed out.
This is, of course, some of the offerings for food. It says when guests want to take a bite out of horror, they can enjoy a monstrous menu of all new food and beverage items, including Bloody Campground Poutine, El Pastor Tortas, and this is the one I'm most interested in, Sour Apple Pie Funnel Fries.
Okay, that is interesting, and I'm not mad about it.
Well, because last year, one of the items was made with funnel fries, like funnel cake fries, but like it had like a crab cake dip, and I was
yeah, I think I do remember that.
It was like petrified rat tails or something like that.
Yeah, it was weird.
I know more about the food from last year than I do the houses, thanks to YouTube. but I was like, I would eat the funnel fries. I don't want the crab cake dip because I don't like crab.
There you go.
And so this year it's like, okay, I do like apple pie, so hook a fat man up. I shouldn't talk like that about that. In addition, they'll be returning fan favorites like pizza fries, because of course. Suggested something online, and I was like, oh my god, they should totally do that, and I would totally eat it, because Stranger Things 4 is there this year. They should do a pineapple on pizza fries.
Yep.
And I was like, that would be probably not everybody's favorite, but I would definitely try it. New this year, Peacock's Halloween Horror Bar will feature themed libations within an ominous nightclub vibe, photo opportunities, and more. I think that's going to go like where they're setting up the bar over by where the warehouse scare zone is.
Oh, okay.
It's where the witch stuff was last year. They had that bar that like kind of goes around behind Lombard's.
Yeah.
I think that's where that's going to be this year.
Interesting.
And it's going to be sponsored by Peacock. And I'm curious, since Peacock is where Five Nights at Freddy's is going to premiere, if we might not see some references to Five Nights at Freddy's, even though it's not at the event.
Still cool.
Because that's because that movie is coming out in theaters and on Peacock on the same day.
Oh.
So, which means in my household, we're going to go see it in theaters and probably come home right away and watch it immediately again. Because my roommate is obsessed with Five Nights at Freddy's.
I'm very excited to see it.
For those dying to experience this year's killer food and beverage before the event opens, Taste of Terror will offer an exclusive preview of select items that will be featured at Halloween Horror Nights, select nights from August 10th through August 26th. So that's coming up, if you want to do that.
That is coming up.
They are also doing stuff at the hotels again this year.
Yep.
The Cabana Bay photo op will be Chucky themed, so you're going to want to take Kevin there.
Yep.
They're also going to be doing the Cabana Bay's bar is going to become the Halloween Horror Nights bar. It'll be themed to Little Boo and the Pumpkin Lord from last year.
Oh my god, seriously?
Yeah.
Well, I gotta go see the Pumpkin Lord then. That's just...
Yeah. And this year, that they haven't announced what it's going to be, but they're also going to be doing a Halloween Horror Nights bar at the Dockside Inn, one of their value resorts. The ones that aren't on property, like you have to, like they're like 5 minutes away.
It says Spooky Sunset Lounge.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to be staying for opening weekend. So I'm excited that they're actually putting, because I was going to do Cabana Bay, but Cabana Bay is really expensive this year.
Yes, it is.
It's like $250 a night. And I was like, ooh, that's a lot more expensive than it used to be.
A little bit.
To be fair, it is the most popular hotel for Horror Nights because they basically turned it into Horror Nights Central.
Yes.
So good for them making the money, but I'm going to stay at the one that's like 200 a night rather than 250 a night the one I was looking at was 140, but I think the price just went up and I haven't booked it yet. Cause I'm dragging my feet trying to save money.
Yep.
Overall, I think this is going to be a fantastic year content wise. Obviously we have yet to see what the crowds are going to be like.
Sure. No, it should still be kind of fun. I'm excited to see everything.
The scare zones definitely, the scare zones have my attention. Like, and I'm like, I imagine some of these are going to be like awesome hangout vibes. Obviously not like the jungle or the like warehouse one.
Right.
But I think Vamp has the potential for like people watching. As does the Zodiac, as does the Oddfellows. So I'm like, yep. Cause that's where I get my enjoyment in terms of like repeat value from Horror Nights is going and seeing like, you know, cause I go to the event so often, eventually I'm like, yeah, I've done the houses. I don't need to do those right now. I'm going to go sit in a scare zone for like an hour and a half.
Just watch people.
So for any of our listeners who are guests with disabilities, like myself, this year Universal has made a change. It's not just for Horror Nights. It's already acted in the parks as of now, I believe. But it is different. You have to, if you want to get their like AAP, like disability pass, you first have to go to a third party website. And I've already done it and I've already gotten through that process. It's actually not as complicated as it seemed when they first announced it. But it's called the IBCCES, Accessibility Card. And a lot of parks are now using it as a standard. Universal is just kind of joining with them. But basically you sign up, you provide them with basic information about your disability, including documentation from your physician or therapist, which is where some people kind of got like, hey, that's not great. but it's definitely, I signed up for it. You basically provide it. I've been approved through their end of the system. Like I have a card and it's approved. I don't have to do anything else with them. Now I have to wait for Universal to get in touch with me so we can discuss what my options are. And I'm specifically going to let them know that I did this for Halloween Horror Nights because you've gone with me to the parks in the last couple of months, actually.
Yes.
And you know, like I can do the regular queues at Universal as long as I have somebody who can push me in the transfer wheelchair.
Right.
Horror Nights, that gets more complicated.
Yeah, it does.
As somebody who has had to push me in the chairs, and I'm deeply sorry for it, Dustin can speak from experience because, you know, it's the queues are not well designed for it, even though they're regular standard wheelchair accessible.
A lot of off-roading.
Yeah, a lot of off-roading. And I don't know what the options are. Somebody was telling me that they do have an option where you have to kind of have a conversation with them about it, where it's kind of like they basically take you up the exit.
Okay.
Kind of like what we did for Haunting of Hill House on opening night that year.
Yes.
But that was because you knew the cast member, not team cast, yep. Team member.
Yeah.
And he was being nice. Otherwise, I think they would have sent us up the express line.
Probably.
This person was like, yeah, especially for some of those houses in the back, it's a lot easier to go up the exit. They'll bring you with you, you know, in your scooter, and they'll have you leave your scooter at the exit so that way you can just go through the house. Because they were like, because I can transfer and walk through the house. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is getting to and from, and especially with them having to extend all the queues because of all the construction that's going on.
Yep. Which are long enough already, so the extended queue is even worse.
Yeah, they've made the 5K that I used to call it the Halloween Horror Nights 5K is now basically the 10K.
You should make T-shirts and medals and stuff.
So, but that is something to if you are going to the event and you use that their disability pass or looking to use it because you have newfound issues, you would want to reach out. Go to the Universal's website; they have the information there. But you have to sign up for that pass at least 48 hours before your visit. If you show up to the park and haven't signed up for it, they're not going to be able to assist you. So, inconvenient, but I understand the need behind it. It's there to prevent people from abusing it because that is definitely rampant at Halloween Horror Nights.
Yep.
And that is funny. The last time they made a change was almost entirely because of Halloween Horror Nights. They like enacted the change on day one of Halloween Horror Nights because they knew it was a problem. Because they were like, yeah, now we're not going to just give it to anybody who wants it. Because they didn't really ask questions. When I started using it in 2014, when my knees started to show signs that maybe things aren't great, they didn't ask me any questions. They'd be like, I was like, oh, my knees, you know, they lock up on me if I stand for too long. And they were like, cool, fill out this form.
Easy peasy.
And I think that meant that a lot of people were just strolling in on Horror Night nights and being like, I want one.
Yeah.
But what people don't understand is it isn't express. I think that was the biggest misunderstanding. It doesn't get you immediate access, except for like the first hour of the event, maybe, if the lines aren't long.
Yeah.
and it's not immediate access. Like even like last year when we did the last year I went, we did the first house that we went to. They didn't send us up the express line. You know, even though we had the pass, they sent us up the regular line. So, you know, it's interesting. I get it. But that's, you know, one of the things. I just think that's, you know, a lot of Horror Nights fans are disabled in one way or another. And sure. I think that the event could be more accessible.
It could be.
I remember in 2019, the first year I used my wheelchair at the event, I was so frustrated. we were going to one of the houses and the person pushing the chair almost tipped me out of it. It wasn't their fault. It was the way the pavement was constructed. And then the queue that they had set up for the house was so close to where we were that I clotheslined myself.
Oh.
So immediately reported that to them. They did fix it kind of. The next night I noticed that post, that queue pole was somewhere else.
A little wider.
But the like dip in the pavement wasn't gone. But then I noticed in 2021 they had like one of those like plastic like protective things to. And I was like,
oh yeah,
they figured it out. But I'm not going to give them a lot of crap for it because it's all trial and error.
Yeah, and it's all like backstage too, and that's you know,
especially if you go, especially if you go opening night, you're not going to have the best experience with any of the accessibility stuff because most of the team members are still learning it.
Yep.
Yeah, you weren't with me opening night of 2019, but we went to three different houses in a row, and all three houses had a different procedure for my wheelchair.
I remember you saying that. That had to have been so frustrating.
One of them didn't know what to do, so they were like, I guess we'll take it, but that's not what we're supposed to do. And so they took it and brought it to the exit, thankfully. The next one said, no, you can't leave it here. You have to take it through the house. So I had to push the chair through the house because I wasn't going to sit in it.
Right.
And then the third one was where it was Universal Monsters. So it was in that parade building. Mm-hmm. And they literally saw me coming and they're like, we'll take your chair for you. Go enjoy the house. And I was like,
perfect.
What's going on? So, and eventually, you know, by like the second weekend, everybody figures that out. But that's one of the big interesting things about Halloween Horror Nights. And if you're going opening weekend, something to be advised of is that most of the team members as operations are brand new.
Yep.
Which I think is fascinating because Disney certainly wouldn't do that.
No, not particularly.
To be fair, Disney doesn't have a need for as many event people for their event parties as Horror Nights does. So
sure.
You know, point to Horror Nights in that one, but Lord almighty, I always feel bad for them because I know they're going to get yelled at opening weekend. Like I saw somebody yelling last 2021, the second night I was by myself for a little bit, and somebody was just being incredibly rude to one of the house ops, and I'm sitting there going, "This is probably her third shift."
Right.
Like I feel so bad for her. So you know, but I was like, I don't know if me going up and saying, "Hey, it's going to be okay," is you know, is what she wants either. Hey, the weird Horror Nights fan that you're probably going to see 80 times this year says, it's A-okay.
You'll get through it, I promise. Or you won't. It's up to you.
But I'm looking forward to being back in the area and getting to see Horror Nights, getting to see it with my friends, which, you know, wouldn't have probably happened very much last year because I was only going to be here for like three nights.
Right.
I think you were the only person I was like, make plans, buddy. But I think it's going to be a very exciting event. I think it's going to be, unique, especially with all the like connectivity things that they're doing. Now, obviously, they're not connecting the IPs, which in the past they've done, but I feel like it would just be they're so disparate of themes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, you have Stranger Things, which is completely opposite from The Last of Us, which is completely opposite from Chucky and The Exorcist. So trying to tie Oddfellow or the overall theme into those would probably be.
Yeah, no cohesiveness there.
And like I remember like in 2007, that was the first year they really had IPs outside of Universal properties. And I remember them, but it worked because it was specifically three characters that are almost always mentioned in the same sentence. It was Freddy, Jason, and Leatherface.
Oh, yeah, well, that's fine.
So having them tie into the Jack the Clown story was easy because it was like, oh, well, he's the ringleader. They're the three rings of the circus.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since then, I really haven't had a cohesive, like, but for example, in Halloween Horror Nights 21 with Lady Luck, they had a house based on The Thing, And Lady Luck was in that house. So I was like, they can do it. It's just
tricky.
And I wouldn't be surprised if, like, if you're doing the daylight tour, you know, the behind the scenes tour that they do, I imagine you might be like, they might be like, hey, look over in this corner here. There's a plushie of Dr. Oddfellow or whatever.
Oh, sure.
You know? Like that kind of thing. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But I imagine he won't have like a very acknowledged presence. I'm trying to take bets on whether or not we see Jack the Clown in the Oddfellow House, since it's considered his origin.
You might.
I was like, I wonder if they'll like do it because it's expected, or if maybe they'll be a little they'll have the restraint to be like, no, Jack isn't this year's icon. You'll see it, when we do 32. So give us, you know, 3 more years.
Right.
We have another anniversary year. Because that's pretty much when they bust Jack out.
Always.
But I think that about covers everything. Anything you want to add to the proceedings?
Not particularly. I think everything was covered.
I can't wait. And it's going to be really exciting to actually have the event work out in a way that I can attend more than 3 or 4 times like I did in 2021, but way more than I attended last year. So,
and it's literally a month away to the date.
I know. We're getting 2 whole months of Halloween Horror Nights.
It's insane.
Might even be a little too much, but I won't know until I try.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny that, you know, in Central Florida, we start Halloween really about mid-August. And it goes until November. By the time Halloween gets here, we're kind of over Halloween, even for us Halloween nuts.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny.
Magic Kingdom already has the decorations up now.
They do. They went up yesterday.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Now that's a reason for me to go to Magic Kingdom.
Yep, go check it out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Dustin. Thank you all for listening. I was telling them in the intro that you didn't hear because you were not recording it with me, but I was looking at the analytics from just the last year, and more people have listened to this podcast in the last year than they listened the first year I did it.
Ooh, that's exciting. Go us. Like,
we recorded one episode, so that's
we
fantastic.
We have fans.
Yeah. So, and obviously, you know, I'm sure that there are other podcasts out there that you could listen to. So thank you for choosing us.
Yeah.
Especially now that Universal's gotten in the game, I feel like, well, what
we're screwed.
But hopefully this year we'll have more conversations as we go. I'm probably going to try to record an episode live at the hotel on opening night or opening weekend, I should say. And we'll probably have I think this year would be really cool to get in, like do sort of some deep dives into the topics of like what we've seen at the event.
Yeah.
But thank you, guys. You have a great night, and we'll see you out in the fog, even though they've already trademarked that phrase this year.
Well, we're doing it anyway.
See you in the fog.